Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, all with you today. Shout out to Salvador Perez, 2-year contract, $12.5 million a year for this year and next. Royal for life. Love to see that. Trade deadline over. We already saw what everybody did yesterday. Obviously, the big focus point yesterday was Jets, Dallas, Colts, Seahawks.
Yeah, that's a nice ad, a nice wide receiver addition for them.
Some say the second most active trade deadline ever.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty wild.
But that doesn't seem like it was real active, though. That tells you how inactive
that
trade
day,
deadline.
Yeah, if you go back and look at throughout the season of trades throughout this season, Micah Parsons was dealt, Joe Flacco was dealt.
I see what you're saying from that standpoint. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So a lot of people moving Sauce Gardner, Joe Flacco, Micah Parsons, Quinnen Williams, Rashid Shaheed. I know that doesn't maybe move the needle for a lot of you, but that was the deep threat in New Orleans.
It's a good ad.
And now he's a deep threat in Seattle because of what they have in JSN, Charbonnet, and Kenny Walker. And the Chiefs, obviously the story locally yesterday, held pat. They didn't do anything. They trust in their team. They're 5-4. They go into the bye week. Josh Simmons will be back against Denver. We've been reported he's back with the team. Mm-hmm. I would assume if he's back, he's going to play left tackle. Juwan Taylor is fine at right tackle. And you have your swing tackle back in Jalen Moore, which I think after watching a sample size of 4 or 5 games of him, that's exactly what he should be. If he's got to fill in a start, which he's done for Trent Williams in the past in San Francisco, he did fine. If he's got to fill in for Josh Simmons for a couple of games, he's fine. Does he have to fill in for Juwan Taylor if he can't stay on the right side of the ball? He's fine. But he's your swing tackle. He gives you that added bonus. It makes Caliendo's position that much more important because now he's the second guy off the bench as opposed to Jalen Moore. But I think the
Then you don't have to worry about seeing Wanya Morris out there.
No, you don't.
He stinks.
Yeah.
He's bad.
It's not good. And then, you know, it kind of gives you a little bit of a padded insurance on what Kingsley Suamataia's injury was. You're like, okay, well, if he can't go, then maybe Jalen Moore can play his position as well. I don't know. I would assume Caliendo would probably fill that role. But maybe it is Jalen Moore. I don't know. But the one thing that stuck out to me yesterday with the Chiefs not making any moves and you kind of go through the deadline, you're kind of sitting there waiting for a Schefter or Rapoport to kind of buzz and see Chiefs are sending. We obviously know the story that we'll get into in a little bit here of the Chiefs calling the Jets and offering a 4th for Breece Hall and the Jets saying, you know, get bent. We're going to stick with a 3rd. If you don't want to give us a 3rd, then we're not going to talk business. And so that obviously dissipated fast. But to me, what this trade deadline means yesterday of not making any moves would tell me that this is going to be a not-so-normal bye week for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think this is a team this week that, yes, they'll be in a bye week, and I'm still kind of curious. I was listening to Alex and Cody talk yesterday if Mahomes is going to be at the big noon game because it's Texas Tech is the featured team. That's where they're going to be at, right? Does Patrick Mahomes make the celebrity pick this week?
Of course.
Well, I don't know. His team is 5-4. I know that he is a big supporter of his alma mater out there, and I'm trying to think. Texas Tech plays who? It's a big, big game.
It's Utah or BYU. It's BYU because it's Andy Reid versus Texas Tech.
So, I mean, it'd be awesome if they had BYU and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes going out there.
Is college game day in Lubbock this week? So it's big, but that doesn't mean that game day isn't there. Game day's probably at Vanderbilt versus somebody in the SEC, right? I know Vanderbilt's the
bell. Is it Vandy, Oklahoma this week or is that next week?
It'll be in Lubbock.
It will be in Lubbock this week, okay?
So they'll be there. You can have your celebrity pick me Patrick
McAfee
Mahomes.
Will be there. there. Mahomes is a celebrity picker. Yeah, look, it's Saturday. They're going to work this week, and then they're going to shut it down probably, you know, today or tomorrow and let everybody go about their merry way to get a couple of days.
But I think with them, because I think we can all three agree, and I think there's probably a lot of people that listen, I think the one thing that I would have loved to see is bring in defensive line help.
Yes.
Without them doing that, it tells me that this week alone is a self-reflection week. And more so for like 95, like Chris Jones. Hey, man, I don't know what you can do other than maybe get a game-clinching sack in a playoff game or, you know, another one of those batted balls in a playoff or Super Bowl or whatever it may be to escape what happened in Jacksonville. I said it yesterday. I think that's his scarlet letter. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that we will always go back to every single time. Like, oh, this guy, you expect this guy to come up clutch? Above is a quoted tweet of him watching Trevor Lawrence run into the walk into the end zone in Jacksonville. Unfortunately, that's what he's going to have to, you know, hone the rest of this year. But maybe this is one of those self-reflected weeks where you didn't make a trade, you didn't bring anybody in, you did go get Mike Pennell to do what you wanted. To, hey, I want this guy on the team. He's my ride or die. And now it's like, hey Chris, like now it's time for you to realize you are better than what you are giving us. You know, your grade so far this year is a 60%. You have one sack. You have 10 tackles. You're on a projected rate to get 20 tackles and two sacks. That is piss poor. Like he's gone from Chris Jones to Piss Jones, and he's got to get back to Chris Jones. And I think if he can do that and he can kind of develop that game again and kind of show people that, hey, I've had a bad few weeks at the office. I need to get back to myself. And this team believes in that. Maybe that morale, maybe that sort of video, maybe that sort of tape that you're watching, you're realizing, okay, this is what I'm not doing right. This is what I need to do right. And this is where I can win the advantage. Something has to happen because they still believe that 95 is not what he is in the first 9 weeks of the season.
And that's a big reason why they didn't make moves after talking with folks around the organization. Like, we believe in our team. Okay, that's great. I know everybody believes in everybody, right? That's why you assemble your teams and the guys around you. But they've got to start now honoring that belief that you have in them. And it really does all start with Chris Jones. And I know he's kind of been, you know, the guy that everybody's been hard on this team. But he's the guy who's had those glaring plays that stand out, right? We were hard on Travis Kelce when he was dropping the ball and causing interceptions and, you know, that kind of stuff. But Chris Jones, it seems like week in and week out, we're all waiting, right? We're all waiting to put the Jacksonville game to bed and not talk about it anymore and move forward and whatnot. But Chris Jones hasn't given us any real ammo to move forward from that Jacksonville game. And I really hate
if you were 7-2 and that was one of your only losses,
no big deal.
Whatever.
We're fine. We've moved past that. But it's such a big loss on the schedule right now for everything that this organization is wanting to do and everything that's in front of them. It may be the first time that we truly go back and like really get pissed about a game that we lost in the regular season, right? The other ones have not really mattered. This one, the Jacksonville game, could be one that ultimately matters. And the lasting image is 95 standing there watching Trevor Lawrence run into the end zone and giving zero effort on that play. And so it's hard for fans, as good as he's been. Again, you do 100 great things. It's the one bad thing you do. It's what fans keep coming back to. And you wonder now if that picture right there, I don't even want to use the term microcosm, but the defining moment of Chris Jones in 2025. I hope that's not the defining moment of Chris Jones in 2025. I hope that play ends up being a microcosm and he has the second half of the season where he's just a one-man wrecking crew out there. But there's a good chance that when this season comes to a close, that we look back at that Jacksonville game and that Chris Jones moment and we say that was the moment that defined Chris Jones this year and that was the moment that defined this team this year. And I don't want that to be the defining moment of the team. So, Chris, get your ass out there and play better, man.
Yeah, and I don't want to, when we talk about Chris Jones in 10 years, to be like, yeah, man, he was great, but that last season when they could have won the, or, oh, yeah, you know, he wasn't that great, and then you have to do, but remember before, and like either way, it's going to be a but. I don't want any buts with Chris Jones. Let's just talk about how great he is, and he needs to, that's on him.
Yeah.
Like 7 weeks, whatever, 10 weeks, if you count the playoffs, to alter that. And I don't think it needs to, I think we could talk about what that means. How do you change that? Yes, it's sacks. Yes, it's tackles. But it is just like showing up, being a presence. To me, like if he, even if he's not finishing the plays, like if he's just a presence, wreaking havoc, letting someone else go in there and have a gap to make a tackle. Like I'm not even seeing that. I'm not seeing a push. I'm seeing him get pushed.
And if you think we're being too hard, again, yesterday, Danan Hughes joined us. And this is what he needs to see from Chris Jones.
Need more. I don't think it's a surprise to him. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody in the Chiefs kingdom. Like, he had two tackles. against the Bills. He's got 13 tackles, 2 sacks, 5 tackles for loss on the season in 9 games. Like, I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that, or the thought process of, hey, we just need more. You're supposed to be the best defensive lineman in the league. It's not a knock. He's going to be on the Ring of Honor. He's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame. But at 5-4, losing 4 games by 1 score, the same 4 games that we won last year when we went 11-0 in 1-score games, we're not doing that, and everybody needs to give more.
So, again, finishes the conversation there with everybody needs to do more, right? Like, mm-hmm. in Buffalo, Andy had a bad game. Patrick Mahomes had a bad game. Chris Jones had a bad game. Maybe not a bad game. But, again, like, this is also there are two things that kind of defend what we're saying. Chris Jones has built himself to this level, this caliber of a player that you are great. You are the best defensive tackle in the league. Once Aaron Donald went out, everybody said, okay, it's Chris Jones. And then maybe it's Quinnen Williams, and then it's, you know, Vita Vey's up there as well, and all these guys that are great defensive tackles. But it's like you've established yourself as this guy. So when consistency runs out, then, you know, critique comes in, mm-hmm. right? When you're not this level, and it's a massive drop-off, right? Like, it's not just like, oh, he's got 3.5 sacks, he's got a couple batted balls, but he's got a couple of games. That's been 7 games. And you know, I was a little off on the stats, 2 sacks, 13 tackles, only 2 against Buffalo. But when that happens, and then the way you carry yourself, right? You walk into a press conference and you're listening to music on your phone, having fun, like everything's going well.
Right.
And then we see the gameplay and it's like the talk ain't worth the walk. You need the walk and the talk to be the same level. And right now, like, you're acting like nothing's wrong. And you have an entire city who supports you, trusts you and everything like that. And radio hosts that know what you have done and what you have become. But all of a sudden now, 9 weeks into the season, this team is 5-4. You look at what's gone wrong. Why do I have a C grade for most people in Kansas City? Well, it starts with these three things. And it is your left tackle was gone. Your middle of your defensive line is not the same guy that he was in the past. Not even half of what that guy is in the past. And, you know, you could also say, well, they just got their wide receiver back in week 7. They got their receiver Xavier Worthy hurt. Sure, those are reasons why you got a C grade, but again, how do you fix those? Do more.
Yeah, and it has to come from your veterans. It has to come from Chris Jones. And that's it right now as we wind down this season. Chris, the call is out. Do more.
I always love analogies, and it always goes back to, you know, the school analogy of being midway through the season and the grade. Like, you get your test grade and you're like, oh, I got a C? I thought I really studied for that test. And then you have somebody be like, well, did you? Like, when did you start studying for that test? The test was Friday. When did you start studying? Wednesday night, I kind of looked at it. And then Thursday, I kind of went to the library and I had a couple of, you know, hours to look at it. You didn't prepare enough. So now you have a week off, you know, you have basically your semester break. And now you're like, okay, when I was studying for this project or this test and I put in this effort, this is what I got. Now go back and criticize yourself and be like, yeah, that week in practice, I thought it was going to be this way and it wasn't. When I got to the game, I was thinking about other things and not really putting, you know, all of it into this, or I was, you know, reading the wrong thing because I didn't look at video enough. Or maybe when he looked at Buffalo, he's like, it's the same team we play every year. And it wasn't. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the game against Jacksonville, like, I thought he was down. He wasn't. I thought we were getting participation points. You weren't. So the thing about those things, those are all correctable things, I think, that can happen for Chris Jones in this defensive line. But I think the thing about it is that you have put yourself into the standard, right? You are the straight-A student. Well, when the straight-A student goes into the midterm and they've got a C grade, not only do the parents, Andy Reid and Brett Veach, not only do the other students, Mahomes and not and all these guys on the defensive side, I don't know why I said naughty, but other guys on the defensive side, and they say, well, what's going on, man? Like, what do you think? Well, I just thought it'd be easier than it is. It's not. It's still the NFL. It's still this. You still have to do things and improve things. And I think that he will do that. I trust in the resume that is Chris Jones. Mm-hmm. And I trust in the way that he kind of handles himself. Because after the Jacksonville game, shut down social media, good for you, state that toxicity out of your brain. And then now all of a sudden it's like, well, that was week 5. We're now in week 10 and it's a bye week. And you know that this stuff is out there. And you know this team did not make moves because what would that have done to Chris Jones if they went and got a big defensive line help and said,
you just ain't got it anymore. Would that have derailed his confidence?
Yeah,
or without getting somebody, does that uplift his confidence?
I don't know. That's an interesting spin on it, too, that obviously was being accounted for, I'm
because
sure.
Because what I saw the trade deadline is this organization, this team, this general manager, this president, this owner, this offensive coordinator, this defense, everything in this team says what we have and what we have built is fine.
And I know that because people in the organization have told me that. We believe in our team. They just have to go out there and play better. Now, we can have all the belief that we want in this team. If we're having this conversation at the end of the year about Chris Jones, it's going to be time to move on from Chris Jones because you can't bring Chris Jones back playing this way and then expect him to be better next year because he's not going to be. It's father time at this point, right? And if it's not father time, then you got some explaining to do, right? But if it's father time and he plays this whole year and he just doesn't have it at all this year and he finishes the year with, you know, 4 sacks and 26 tackles, it's probably going to be time to retire Chris Jones.
And again, I think it's also, I think it's all those, the supporting cast. Where's Charles Omenihu? George Karlaftis, that's fine. He's having a decent year, but he's not blowing away the defensive line.
But again, we're talking about people that we're not expecting to have that big impact on the game. If Chris Jones isn't having an impact on the game, then those other guys aren't going to have an impact on the game because you don't have to give as much attention to Chris Jones. And now all of a sudden, the double and triple teams that we're being told that he's getting every time are no longer. Now you got one-on-ones, or maybe you're doubling somebody else because you don't have to waste your resources, you know, on Chris Jones. It all starts from there. Like the Charles Omenihus and all these other guys, man, they're minor bit players. You have to have your star players achieve that level. And they may have missed on Chris Jones. They may have extended him for too long, right? And at that point in time, you had to. He's one of your legacy players and all this kind of stuff. But once your legacy players start to go south, you've got to replace those legacy players, and you've got to count on those guys. They were counting on Chris Jones this year to be a big-time player, and if Chris Jones is playing better, everybody on that defensive line would be playing better right now.
I mean, at least you didn't do what Dallas did. Does anybody understand what Dallas is doing? Does anybody understand what's going on in Dallas?
Who's having sex with Jerry Jones?
Himself.
Yeah. I don't
understand the Quinnen Williams thing.
Nobody does. Well, it's you're making up because you screwed up the Michael Parson thing.
Yep.
That's what that is. You're throwing good money at bad money.
It's a Parsons project. I think it's just weird where, like, you gave back the...
Right. You're square zero, right? Right? Like,
I mean, you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole.
Ridiculous.
Like, I just don't.
And at 3-5-1, you're giving up first and second round picks for Quinnen Williams?
You made a trade as if you are a contender.
Right. What were they doing yesterday?
I don't know. I understand what Indianapolis is doing. Hey, our window's wide open and it's on a hinge that could break at any point.
Yeah.
Let's go try it now. Let's just do it. We're riding high. Let's just get this now. Let's go win. I understand what Seattle did. They got Shaheed. That guy's not going to move the needle for a lot of people, but if you're in Seattle, you're a football
small
geek,
good move though.
Right? Yep. You have an over-the-top guy now, so you can change your offensive algorithm. You look at the Jets. Okay. We're going to rebuild our defense. We're 1-7. This defense isn't winning any championships.
We're not winning with these guys. Get rid of them.
Yeah. And, you know, you kept a few pieces of Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson for now.
Get them a quarterback. Oh, my God.
And
that could be fun.
It should be. And that's understandable. Dallas, I mean, I don't know what you have to do. I don't know what Jerry Jones is going to have to do to, like, realize it ain't you, man. Like, you got a 34-year-old middle linebacker, and you got a guy in Quinnen Williams who's a defensive lineman that you had defensive lineman that you got a first-round pick that you gave a first-round pick for. I just don't – I'm sorry if I've gone cross-eyed and I'm annoying.
No, you're giving me a headache because that's exactly what happened yesterday.
I don't know what's going on. You're not a contender. You're not a contender. You got rid of a guy to get a pick, then got rid of the pick to get a guy. I don't understand Dallas.
Well, he did say yesterday
that fan reaction should be more pissed than the Chiefs fan reaction yesterday that we saw from some
Chiefs.
Oh, God,
yes, because I don't know that the Cowboys, they may have gotten worse yesterday.
They literally got a guy whose nickname is Cowboy.
Yeah.
And gave away the first round pick they got one for a guy that plays the same, technically, the defensive line. He's not Micah Parsons. I understand that. But again, Quinnen Williams is what, the third best defensive lineman in football?
He's top five. Yeah,
for sure.
27 in his prime.
He set the market that made Chris Jones get paid.
Yeah, but I mean, I would think the picks would be better for Dallas at this point in time. Like, Jerry Jones was so, I'm going to show you, that he threw good money at bad money and didn't really get better as an organization. Got worse, I think, as an organization from the Micah Parsons trade to today. Are the Dallas Cowboys a better organization? I don't think that they are, guys. I really don't. I don't think they improve themselves as an organization. But Jerry Jones said on Monday that, you know, our job is to be relevant. Well, you were relevant yesterday, but relevant doesn't mean good. Just because people were talking about you and you were in the news and all that kind of stuff doesn't mean it's a good thing, right? Being relevant isn't always great. The Cowboys were relevant yesterday, but they were relevant because everybody's going, what in the hell are the Dallas Cowboys doing? They basically completed a circle, and they didn't even complete the circle. They went 355 degrees because they were better when they first started drawing the circle. Yeah. They traded their best defensive player. Can't stop anybody on defense, so go get two other defensive players, get back all the picks that you got for this guy, and you're not better than you were 3 months ago. Am I right by saying that?
I mean, you're just not a contender. You're not.
And you're 3-5-1, and you're giving up all these picks when you have high picks. I mean, what are you doing? And now that Green Bay has come back to the pack a little bit, those picks from the Packers are probably going to be better.
Yes. Yep.
Jerry, where are you, bro? Like, what world are you in? BBL stinky.
Big time.
But the Jets, I never thought I'd say this. I'm envious of what they did yesterday, man. For a team, like, yep. if you're the Dolphins or, you know, the Saints or the Raiders, you're looking at the Jets. You're
Titans,
you're looking at the Jets and you're going, damn. Mm-hmm. Who's the guy we wanted from the Titans, the defensive tackle?
Yeah, it's Devondre Sweat or Jeffrey Simmons.
Jeffrey Simmons, yes. Right? How you doing with Jeffrey Simmons? We're 1-7. Yeah, how would you be without Jeffrey Simmons? Probably 1-7. So trade him and get draft picks back. Like, if you're the Tennessee Titans, you got to be kicking yourself in the balls today. Or hitting yourself with a paddle right there, just knocking yourself. Rochambeau yourself, because you screwed that thing up big time. Oh, we got to keep Jeffrey Simmons. We're 1-7. No,
trade
you don't.
Trade Pollard, trade Ridley, trade all those, anyone.
Yep.
Snead can't get traded, but he hasn't played.
Has he played since he went down there?
Yeah, he just got hurt 2 weeks ago. Yep. He was back, and then he got hurt 2 weeks ago.
And he was a healthy scratch this year a couple of times, too.
So he hasn't played much in 2 years.
Yeah, hasn't played much at all there.
Win.
Somebody says Jerry Jones is like that bored fantasy football manager. He gets bored and makes moves just to make moves.
That's exactly what that is. That's a move to make a move for making a move's sake, right? And that's kind of what the Chiefs would have been doing yesterday if they just made a move to make a move. Everybody, they made a move. Was it a good move? Did you get better? Did you make your organization overall better? Dallas did not yesterday. The Jets probably are the only one that did yesterday. You know, Seattle. Maybe the Chargers by getting, you know, Emily's brother out there to play tackle or guard. And then I saw Mina Kimes about that. She's like, what does this guy really do? I mean, you know, I don't really know if he's a guard or a tackle. They needed a warm body.
I'm the guy disguised as a dude playing another dude playing another dude.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.